December the 13th, 8 games, returning players, injured players, lots to talk about. This is the pre-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do and say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, everywhere, anywhere. Go and subscribe, download, like, thumbs up, all that stuff. Old Man Squad, we are part of that as well, at Old Man Squad on Twitter, at Dan Bespris. B-E-S-B-R-I-S. I have to spell it like he does. Go and find him as well. Lots of shows over on their network, including, well, it's not a show, but Chad's just popped in the chat here, and I'll, why not talk about it? We are doing an Old Man Squad Dynasty Draft at the moment. And quick update. I mean, it's not a Dynasty show, but I like drafts, so actually I want to see where the draft is up to. So I am picking 9th. I think it's 9th. 10th, 11th, 12th. Yes, I'm picking 9th, third round reversal, 12 teams, standard. We're drafting now, which is sort of a weird time to be drafting. But so, yeah, I'm picking 9th, and my picks so far have been Cade Cunningham, LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller. So I'm going young, I'm going guardish. I have Cade in another dynasty league. Do I have LaMelo? No, I don't have LaMelo in a dynasty league, I don't think. Yeah, so good to get him. A little bit of a discount, I think, with the injuries and stuff like that. I think he's a first rounder in dynasty. I actually was probably going to take Jalen Williams at that pick, but he went at pick 12. I was pretty happy to get Cade there. And then I feel like... And then it was the third round reversal, as I said. So I took Miller with the fourth pick of the third round. And I actually would have taken Franz there, Franz Wagner, but he went with the last pick of the second round. So a bit of recency bias there for Franz, I think. But no, I'm okay with my team. They're all pretty young. So anyway, as I said, not related to this at all, but I don't know. It's fun talking about drafts. Oh, and Chad thinks he should have taken Cade in the first, since I do not like Anthony Edwards, so I don't know if I would have taken him. Trey Young was also there, potentially would have taken him. Anyway, let's get into the games for tonight. There are 8 of them, so we're sort of back to normal, at least for one night, and then we get weird again for the next few nights with in-season cup and everything going on. So first game, Pacers at Philadelphia. For the Pacers, nothing really new in terms of injury. We did get a trade announced an hour ago, roughly, when I was on the Insight show with Skitty. Thomas Bryant has been traded to the Pacers for picks and things, so no real fantasy impact here. He will come in and presumably play as the backup center, although they have been playing a bit of Obi Toppin there. But it gives them some flexibility. Bryant, I won't say he's proven, but he's better than Moses Brown, I think, who they waived. So, yeah, look, Bryant might come in and play 10 minutes, 12 minutes a night, something like that. I think for me, the bigger takeaway is that this may free up some minutes for Khalil Ware in Miami. So it'd be good to see him just playing as their backup center behind Bam, 15 minutes, something like that. So curious to see what they do in Miami. But back to this game, as for the Pacers, TJ McConnell, we continue streaming him. He's been really good the last few weeks, I want to say, at least the last few games. So we keep rolling with him. We'd love to see more minutes, of course, but he's doing enough. Mathurin, if he was dropped, I would consider him for tonight. he'll be in and out of rosters all season, I think. Probably not on a nightly basis, but on a weekly basis. For the Sixers, they are healthy for, what, the second, third game, and there hasn't been many. So Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, and Joel Embiid all playing tonight, which removes a lot of the streaming value from guys like Kelly Oubre, Jared McCain, Yaba Selle to a lesser extent, Kyle Lowry to a much lesser extent. I'd still consider Oubre, he's starting if you need points and some steals, and McCain if you need some points. Okay, Washington at Cleveland. For the Wizards, they're still without George, Brogdon, Kispert, Kuzma. So Bob Carrington will presumably continue to start. I don't mind him as a target, albeit one with a pretty low ceiling based on what we've seen lately. Koulibaly, we get questions about him all the time. Should we be dropping him? I think he's still a hold. Justin Champagne would be the one I'd be looking at here, who we may not talk about every game. He's been good the last couple. If he can play 30 minutes again, 28, 30, he's been doing a bit of scoring and some defensive stuff. So I don't mind him. For the Cavs, sorry, so just making sure there's no trades or anything. For the Cavs, Mobley is questionable. I wouldn't be surprised if they give him the night off here against the Wizards. But you do have to be careful. We know the Wizards beat the Nuggets last week, I think. So always a danger game when you play these teams. But, yeah, Mobley potentially could miss this one. I'm just going to open up the injury report and things like that. So Mobley is a game time decision, apparently. I'm just checking here. Nothing else coming. Yes, so Mobley is a game time decision. So let's wait and see. They do play early, so first game of the night. So we should know before lineups lock. If Mobley doesn't play, Okoro, who is probable, will probably just come into the starting lineup. We know where the value is here. LeVert, possibly. Maybe a bit more of Ty Jerome if they have to sort of go smaller, but the Wizards obviously have Saar and Valanciunas there in an attempt to go big to match up with the Cavs. So if Mobley's out, do we see Valanciunas go back to the bench? There's a few moving pieces here, which does make streaming a little bit tough. Charlotte at Chicago. Miles Bridges questionable. No word on him yet. They don't play until 8 p.m. So maybe we hear before lineups lock. I hope we do. Nick Richards will play or will start, presumably. Mark Williams will come off the bench. They have said they're going to up Mark Williams' playing time a little bit, so maybe we get closer to 15 minutes. If it is 15 minutes, it's going to be hard to do that in a half. So they've been playing him 10, 11 minutes in one half and then playing Musa Diabate in the second half. If he pushes to 15, it's pretty hard to do that as a bench player in a half, because it would mean he's sort of playing 7 to 8 minutes per quarter, which is, it's a long stretch. So they do push him to the second half a little bit here and go 8 minutes a half. I don't know. I'd be holding Williams. We could be weeks away from him hitting any sort of a ceiling, but I think the upside warrants holding for now. Micic, we're still holding as well, although LaMelo is getting closer. He's not playing tonight, but could be in the next game or two. So we just hold Micic for now. Not really interested in anyone else there on the Hornets bench. For the Bulls, Vucevic is questionable with an illness. If he is out, Jalen Smith, I think, is the guy we want to target tonight. Patrick Williams also questionable to return. If he does, Buzelis takes a hit, unfortunately. Dosunmu probably takes a hit as well. I'd still be rostering Dosunmu just to see what his role looks like with Williams back. But we could trend towards him being more of a streamer than a must roster. So situations to monitor in Chicago. All right, let's have a look at some questions very quickly. Okay, what's chat got? Dunn, Plumlee, and Drummond. I need to bench one because I have to start Karras with the surprise rule out of Struess. Need to bench two if Mobley plays. Okay, Plumlee I would bench probably because Nurkic is back tonight. And so I would bench Dunn as well. So Dunn, Phoenix Dunn, because Durant is back. So they would be the guys. Drummond, we don't know what we're going to get from Embiid. The only one I would say you probably have to start tonight or should start of those three would be Chris Dunn because he's starting, he's playing 25 minutes and he's getting steals. So he's doing exactly what we thought. Let's have a look. There's a trade question. We'll get to that a little bit later. What's this one? With Sar healthy again, is Bagley a drop? Bagley's a drop, I think. I don't think we need to be holding Bagley at all. Let's go back up to this Washington rotation. Bagley needs 30 minutes, 28 minutes, I think, to be anything more than just a points and some rebounds streamer. So, yeah, I think I'd be okay moving on from Bagley here. I have a bunch of centers. My guard rotation is a bit sparse. This is for the trade question. Okay, so we'll get back to that one. All right, don't know if I should stream Justin Champagne or Dorian Finney-Smith. If you're just in a position where you can take a bit of a flight, I'd probably go Champagne. Finney-Smith, we know who he is, and that's not much. Champagne has certainly been the better of the two options in the last week. So, yeah, I'd probably take a bit of a flyer on Champagne. And they also, given they play the Cavs, this game could be a blowout. So Champagne could get minutes, 30 minutes, because they may sort of trend to that garbage time lineup. And, yes, Shining Knight, I will get to your Beal question. There's a few parts to it, but we'll get through these games first. So we did that one, Lakers and Minnesota. For the Lakers, no LeBron James again. Anthony Davis, probable, should play. Austin Reeves is back, more than likely, so that's a good thing. Who are we looking at for streaming? Well, Christie, Connect, Hachimura are probably the three names to consider, and it's really a roll of the dice. I like Christie's overall game, if we're looking at those three, in terms of his fantasy upside, all that sort of stuff, but he's probably the least safest option. Connect, I guess maybe we're going to get a nice game from him. We'll get one soon, whether it's tonight against this Minnesota team who are a pretty good defensive team other than Julius Randle. Probably going to be tough. So I don't know. I'd take a bit of a run at any of those three. Maybe Connect, Hachimura, Christie would be the order. Russell, if he was dropped, but he's probably rostered in most places. And for the Wolves, healthy, relatively healthy. I picked up DiVincenzo in a 16-team league. They have two games in three nights here, so that was sort of why. I'm hoping that I can get him on an upward trend here and maybe get a glimpse of the DiVincenzo we saw last season, but I'm not confident. But not really. Outside of him and maybe Alexander Walker, not a lot to talk about here. Jaden McDaniels, I don't think we need to be rostering. Good name. Yes, so Chad has come up with a 2026 tanking name, dashing to the bottom. That would be referencing Dash Daniels, who earlier this morning, my time, announced that he has signed with Melbourne United here in Australia. So he is the brother of, for those that don't know, he's the younger brother of Dyson Daniels. He profiles pretty similar to Dyson. And he's been playing in the NBA, I don't know, I forget what they're called, but the Shining Stars, something Stars, Next Stars program. I forget what it's called. Anyway, he will be drafted in 2026. So, yes, very, very excited to see him playing here in the NBL next year with Melbourne. And Melbourne are a good team, for anyone wondering. So they're currently second in the standings here. So it is a good team, a good franchise who will be able to develop him with a view to him being drafted. So very exciting. Okay. Brooklyn at Memphis. For Brooklyn, talked about this with Skitty. Hard to know. We know Cam Johnson, we know Nick Claxton, we know Dennis Schroeder. Beyond that, I think Keon Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith, Jalen Wilson, Ben Simmons, Shake Milton, Trendon Watford could all have value tonight, but we have no idea which one it's going to be. Simmons, obviously his minutes are probably the most secure. He'll play 22 to 24, but Milton could play 16, as we see here on the screen, or he could play 30. And that could be said for all of them. So on a night when there's lots of streaming potentially, given there's eight games, I might avoid the situation in Brooklyn. For Memphis, Zach Edey, doubtful. I don't think he plays here. So we keep rolling with Brandon Clark, who's been strong in 25 minutes a night. Curious to see what they do when Edey comes back, whether they keep Clark as the starting center. He has looked good. They have looked good as a team. So, yeah, that's a situation to monitor, whether Clark is just an automatic drop once Edey comes back, or do we still get 22 to 24 minutes starting, which is enough for him to put up back-end value. With Jar and Desmond back, Wells, no reason to be holding on to him. Santi Aldama continues to be the longest stream in the history of streaming, and Marcus Smart, if you need assists and steals. Okay, Clippers and Denver. Clippers are without Derek Jones for a few weeks, and obviously Kawhi Leonard, who we have no idea. James Harden returns. Nick Batum will start. We are not adding Nick Batum. Chris Dunn for steals. Kevin Porter, assists. I'd love to see Jordan Miller out there a bit more. He's not playing enough to be sort of grabbed in standard leagues. In deeper leagues, maybe. For the Nuggets, Jamal Murray questionable. I'm just going to check player news. So we had, did I see Evan Mobley was, Chad just put, yeah, Mobley was ruled out. I haven't seen anything pop up here, but let me just check Twitter. Okay, who have we got? We know Austin Reeves. Don't see anything. Let's search Evan Mobley and see if he has in fact been ruled out. Yes. Yeah, there's a couple of things. Nothing that I would. I don't know if there's anything I'd trust that he's been ruled out. So I'm still going to say he's questionable, but as I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he does get ruled out. Nuggets, if Jamal Murray is out, and I have read that they may be cautious with him here as well, we'd look at Westbrook and Julian Strouther as the adds. Westbrook typically plays well when Jamal Murray doesn't. So, yeah, I think both of those guys could have value tonight if Murray misses the game. Phoenix at Utah, said they're fully healthy as well, so pretty much all the streaming value goes away. Grayson Allen, if you need threes, and Royce O'Neal, if you need other stuff, are both probably somewhat risky, but we've seen it from them before. For the Jazz, Markkanen is probable. Clarkson is probable. He's missed a few weeks. Clarkson's return will probably impact Sexton. I'm not sure it impacts Keontae George too much in terms of playing time anyway. Really curious to see what Kessler's role looks like with a relatively healthy roster, because he's been playing big minutes, putting up big numbers. So let's see if that continues, or whether having Markkanen there, having Filipowski there, having Clarkson there, does Kessler drop back to 25, 26, maybe 28 minutes, or does he hover around the early to mid-30s? Something to keep an eye on. Last game of the night, Spurs at Portland. For the Spurs, no Stephon Castle, who is out. He's been playing really well. So with him out, do they bring Vassell in? Do they bring Sochan in? Do they bring them both in and move Champagne to the bench? No idea, and we probably won't find out until much later. So Julian Champagne, if you want to take a flyer on him, sure. A little bit of uncertainty tonight. Obviously, no Castle there helps him, but does that just benefit Vassell and sort of make them have to play him a little bit more? And Sochan, who went to the bench, weirdly, does he start again? So a few questions here. Harrison Barnes, no, thank you. Not interested in him. And I would just be monitoring the whole Wemby-Charles Bassey situation here. As I said, Wemby to me looked a little bit proppy in that last game. No indication that it's going to impact him in this game. But with Zach Collins out, I've said it numerous times, I like Charles Bassey. I think he has a really nice fantasy game. So, yeah, if he can somehow get 15 to 18 minutes deeper leagues, I'd keep an eye on him. For the Blazers, I would assume that DeAndre Ayton is just waiting to see if Robert Williams or Donovan Klingon play, and if they do, he probably won't. So, I would love it if all their centers are healthy. Duop Reith, not really. He's not in the rotation, but Klingon, Williams, Ayton, if they're all healthy, what does this rotation look like? Obviously, with Klingon and Williams coming back off injury, it's not an accurate reflection, but it would give us a bit of an idea of how they view Ayton. Is he starter 32 minutes and we split the backup minutes, or how high do they view Williams? Where does Klingon fit? So, yeah, curious to see if they're all healthy tonight and ready to go. Kamara, stream him in if you like. Same goes for Avdija and Scoot Henderson. All right, let's get to finish up these questions. We'll do this one quickly. How do I feel about holding Wendell Carter and Goga together? I think they're both holds. Having them both together is almost a good thing because it's sort of like you're handcuffing one to the next. So if Goga has a bad game, Wendell might step up a little bit. Of the two, I would prefer Goga at the moment quite comfortably, but I do think both are still probably a hold in 14-team leagues. Yeah, it is. Ty Washington, well, he did look good. There's a few players. Josh Christopher was another one who looked good and then had a really good summer league, and we just haven't heard anything about him this season. So there's always those players. The NBA is such a talented league, as we know. Any predictions on who might be traded? Any centers from the Blazers? I think one of them goes. I think the Blazers would like it to be on DeAndre Ayton, but he is obviously the hardest to move in terms of contract. I think it's him or Williams. I don't think it'll be Klingon. They drafted him. They invested in him. They basically got Williams for nothing. And DeAndre Ayton is, well, you know my thoughts on him. So I think it'll be one of those two. Yeah, as I said, I would love it if it's Ayton. I don't know where he'd go. I don't know who would want Ayton. That's the question. But I do think one of them is probably traded because, yeah, it's hard to run with a three-center rotation for a sustained period anyway. If you're looking to develop players, it just doesn't work. All right, let's get up. Where's this question? It's up here somewhere. Okay, so Shining Knight, who should I be looking for Beal? Wondering if I should trade him as my team is in a weird spot. Bunch of centers. Guard rotation is a bit sparse. That sounds better. And quickly. Oh, okay. So you got quickly forwards. All right. So who would you be looking for? That's a really good bunch of centers there, obviously. Jokic, Kat, Hartenstein, Zubats. So you've got or two first rounders. So you're good for centers. Guards are a little bit, quickly there as well. And then Butler, Tobias Harris, I'm assuming, and Jalen Johnson. Points are good. Sorry, I'm just doing stats in my head. Threes, steals. Yeah, steals are probably okay. They're probably tied into only a few players. Amen, Dyson, TJ, sort of TJ. Jalen Johnson is decent at steals. Rebounds, you should be okay. Probably punting blocks, I would say. Maybe punting field goal percentage as well. And free throws are probably okay. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're looking to trade Beal, I would probably be looking to get some assists. You do have Jokic there, though. You sort of forget when you look at a roster that how good Jokic is in assists. But you don't really have a true point guard there. So that might be who I'd be looking at if you're looking to move Beal. I think, was there more to this question? The question is, should I even try to deal Beal? Yeah, look, I think if you can move Beal for a top 50 player, I'd probably do that. Maybe you're looking at a point guard. Sorry, I'm just doing a... Let's have a look. Who's in the Beal range? Garland. If you could get Darius Garland for Bradley Beal, that would be an upgrade in assists, I think. Tyus Jones came to mind, but I think you can get more for Bradley Beal than Tyus Jones. Maybe someone like a Darius Garland. That would be a bit of an upgrade in assists. It really depends if you can find someone that likes Beal, because he's an interesting one. He's obviously had a bit of injury risk. Where is Beal this season? So Beal's the 80th ranked player this season, which I think is probably his floor. What's he averaging? 3.3 assists. So, yeah, if you could upgrade to 5 or 6 assists, maybe a Kobe White might be someone to look at there, because if LaVine is moved at any point, White would take off. Yeah, so I think, I don't know, that might be where I'd go with it. What else have we got? Okay, who do I have higher rest of season, Shaedon Sharpe or Bilal Coulibaly? Might be Coulibaly. Sharpe's been pretty good, but sorry, I'm going to get rid of that. We don't need that there anymore. And I'll just do this. Play with settings. Sharp's been okay, but I don't know. He's a little bit one-dimensional at this stage. I think Coulibaly, he just does more defensively. The offense, as we've seen, it's really, really up and down. Overall value, I think Coulibaly, but if you just want points and threes, Sharp. Yes, punting blocks, but getting some blocks from Hartenstein. Yeah, look, Hartenstein does get some blocks, but it's certainly not elite. Need to activate Nurkic and have to drop a center. I have Embiid, Anthony Davis, Brook Lopez, Derek Lively. Of those five, who would you drop? Brook Lopez would be the pick for me. Embiid's obviously risky. I mean, in terms of tonight, having a look at your roster, it could be that you leave Nurkic in your IR spot because Embiid could be injured after tonight. Who knows? So unless you're sort of this really struggling in this matchup for big man stats, I would consider leaving Nurkic in your IR spot tonight. And just to see, let's see how Lopez goes tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow they play, I think, in the quarter semifinal. Lopez has been pretty bad. He's basically blocks only at this point. So I'd have, personally, I'd have all of those guys over Lopez, but I know I'm a little bit lower on Lopez than others. LC Poe, I have Mark Williams struggling in the standings. Would you cut bait and look to take off someone with instant production? Yeah, it's tough if you're struggling in the standings, because Mark Williams could be a month ramp up here. It's been very slow so far. I'm not saying it's going to be as slow as Jonathan Isaac, but I'm also not saying that, given it's Charlotte. So we could even, I think I said this a few weeks ago, this could even be a situation where rest of season, Mark Williams' ceiling is 22 minutes and they just play Nick Richards 25 to 26, because he's proven that he can be an NBA center. That's not to say Mark Williams won't start, but maybe he starts and plays 5 minutes a quarter or something like that. So as much as I would try and hold Mark Williams wherever possible, if you are struggling in the standings and you need production now, I'd be okay with that. Would I do it for DeAndre Ayton? Well, I'm probably not the person to be asking, because I'm so low on DeAndre Ayton. Usually when he's on the floor, he puts up decent numbers. So I guess if you are looking at purely I need production now, then yes, that's probably okay. But I'm not sure about Ayton's attitude, role, minutes, or everything. But if it's purely a production standpoint, I think that's okay. And that will do. That was all 8 games? Yeah, we got through all 8 games. I will just check the player news, see if we've got any player news. Okay, Evan Mobley out. All right, so Chad was correct. So Evan Mobley is out tonight, so we will be looking at who are they going to start? George Niang, maybe. Okoro is also playing, so he will presumably come straight into the starting lineup. So, yeah, they're probably not going to go to LeVert here, I don't think. But what this does do with no Mobley, it could mean that Washington tinker with their starting lineup and we might see Marvin Bagley start. He's a little bit more mobile than Valanciunas. Maybe Sar goes to the center. So, I don't know. Let's keep an eye on the starting lineups here. Before we make any final decisions. And now that will do. Things to do, people to see. There will be a show this afternoon, a post-game show, normal sort of time. I think the last game tonight is at 10 p.m. Eastern, which so probably around 5 p.m. my time, which is 10 p.m. Pacific. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We'll probably be when I do the show. So, yes, there will be a show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, for downloading, for listening. I really appreciate it. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pregame show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBI Basketball.